Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette Thornton, and we are glad you have joined our Friday Fellowship of Learners. We are journeying through the Word of God and the writings of the powerful scribes of the Lord who have penned books that have brought us wisdom and understanding to the Word of God, that has revealed the scripture, has laid it out in specific paths as it relates to the different issues that we address in our journey with the Lord. Also that we might mature and grow into the fullness of Christ, and the world might see it in us and desire our holy, our perfect, our Savior, our Lord, our friend, and the bridegroom. For we are the bride, and the bride should look loving. And as the song plays, I just love it. They'll know us by our love. We'll know one another by our love. And because of that, one of the things that was penned in the Word of God by the Apostle Paul was a letter to the Corinthians, and by the Lord Jesus was a Sermon on the Mount. And we have been looking at a comparison of the two as it relates to the principles and precepts of the Sermon on the Mount with the violations of those precepts by the early church, and not just the early church, but the church thereafter. All indications and signs for us to look out for, so that we can evaluate the condition of our hearts. As the Lord said, examine yourself, and then present that finding to the Lord in a way that will bring us back to the heart of God for the people and for Him. Because He said, how can you love me when you do not love your brother who you see and you sit next to and you drive next to? And you interact with in family and in friends and in fellowship and in the world, because this was written for saints. This was written for saints, not sinners. So we know we may view some of these things in the lives of some of our family and friends and those around us. If they have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, then they have not received the power to have the heart that God has, and we have, and as a result, we have to be good stewards of it. To be good stewards, He said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Do you know? Do you know what He expects from you? Do you understand biblically and spiritually what His expectations should look like lived out in your life, in a sold-out life, in a non-hypocritical life, in a non-undivided heart? These are some of those precepts that we have looked at. We haven't looked at all of them. There are 33, and prayerfully you have examined those 33 and looked at them as it relates to your life and as it relates to your scores on the fruit of the Spirit, because that is the gauge, that is the standard, that is the ruler and the plumb line that we are to measure our living upon. And that is the fruit of the Spirit, not one another. I'm not better than this person, I'm not as bad as that person, is not indication of having and seeking and desiring and allowing the heart of God to be created within us. And so we must have that standard to look for. And when Christ came, He brought to the world a new kingdom. And with that kingdom and that new covenant, He brought new information for living in it. It has standards, if you want to say protocol, it has bylaws. It has instructions for living in the kingdom, what is and what is not acceptable, what will and what will not abide. And so these things though they may exist on some level, they're always to be in the process of being delivered and being us being delivered from that which hinders us from allowing the Lord to give us. He says he will give us a new heart and he will write it upon our hearts. And this is what he is doing as we journey in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and in fellowship with the person and the power of Holy Spirit, as it is the will for the Father for our life. A seeking heart, a wise heart, a loving heart, a sold out heart, a discerning heart, an obedient heart, a believing heart, an undivided heart, and a forgiving heart, a morally clean heart, a faithful heart, a reverent heart, a non-vengeful heart, a praying heart, an accepting heart, a perfect heart, a heart seeking God's glory only, a grateful heart and a tender heart, a tamed heart and a disciplined, hungry heart, a merciful heart, a clean heart, a prayerful heart, an unoffended heart, a sincere heart, an enlightened, consistent heart, a whole heart, a transparent heart, a harmless heart, a heart without fault, and a yielding heart. Yielding heart leads us to the last book that we looked at, total surrender, totally yielded to the will and the way of God. I will the will of God for my life. That was my prayer from that book that always leads me to a place of repentance and surrender. And so we open the lines up this morning to all of our fellowship learners and give you an opportunity as we enter the last week of the month of July, which is soon by, and to come to the end of this particular enlightenment as we embark for the month of August to our new study. So, comments, revelations, inspirations from anybody out there this morning. Praise the Lord. Good morning. You are on speaker. We do also have our promise that we want you to look at today. Anybody have their promise? They're ready to share. We were looking at a promise from every book of the Bible. Promises that enable us to walk in the truths that are being presented in the Lord. Promises that give us the energy, but the power to receive the instructions of the Lord. We have some powerful books today that we're looking at. So does anybody have their promise for today?
What books are we on today?
Well, we're looking at the book of Revelation and the book of Hosea.
Okay.
Revelation and Hosea.
Good morning. I have one on Hosea 10:12, and
Amen.
It says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, but it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you.
Amen. Amen. It is time to seek the Lord. All right. Anyone else? on your mind is from Hosea 14 and 19. That says, for the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. And then in Revelation, starting at the beginning, Revelation 1 and 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. For the time is near. Motivation and encouragement can fuel the promises of God, provide fuel for us to to persevere and to remain actively seeking and pursuing God. Anybody else to share their scriptures this morning? Mine's awful silent. Hello. So, we have some of the heart, the precepts that were, have not been done yet. Anybody want to complete or do another one that they have looked at? They have been ministered to through. Take your phones off mute and share this morning. Okay. So of all of the heart conditions, which one do you feel the Lord led you to look at it, to examine, to work out through you, through your life, through your time? I'm like Timothy, I'm tapping your phone to see, is it on?
Okay.
Yes, good morning, good morning. Someone was saying something?
Okay, I'll be. I didn't want to do it, but it's well. And it was one that he's working with me through now, and that is I was trying to make sure that was the one, a non-vengeful heart.
Okay.
And that who so compels you to go a mile, going the extra mile, and not being bitter toward those who take advantage, not demanding justice for ourselves, and the violation of the state. There's already a fault among you because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? With that one, and it was from Matthew, getting that scripture. One moment, I'll get it. Okay. And that scripture, 38 through 42. And it says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to you and take your shirt hand over you, your coat as well, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." And so it was speaking of when we are wrong, and often our first reaction is to get even. Instead, Jesus wants us to show to be good to those who wrong us. And our desire should not be the key but to love and forgive. And this is not natural, it is supernatural, because only God can give us the strength to love as he does, instead of planning vengeance and praying for those who hurt you. And the reason why I wanted to speak on this one, because he's working with me through that in marriage and relationships and family, friends. If someone do wrong to you, not to do wrong, but to forgive them, to show love, to not try to get revenge, but take out on that person. You know, if they hit you, you hit them back. If they curse you, you curse them. And I mean, I just got to be real. And you try to just justify your wrong, you know. So he's been working with me in that area. And just to walk away or just listen to what they say and not have a response, you know. Not an eye for an eye, two for two, but to just show love. And then to give them words of love versus anger or frustration. And he said just to be silent sometimes and not speak. So that was one that stood out. And God is still working with me in that area.
Amen. Amen. I think that was the one for a lot of us, which is interesting. So I ask you, as it relates to the fruit of the Spirit, what fruit will come forth from that?
Fruit that I see that will come forth in that will be self-control.
Okay.
And love. You know, there's a lot of them. But I think self-control, love first, because you have to show love one to another. You know, no matter who do you wrong, you have to be God right and show love. But I said gentleness and I said self-control, because I have to always, I must be like Christ. And he wouldn't want me to try to get somebody back because they wronged me or cursed me out or said something that I didn't like. What he would want me to do is forgive and to not say anything, especially if it's going to be harsh or hurt them. So those are three I see.
Amen.
Peace.
Amen. Go ahead.
So, I was just saying, and peace too. I mean, you know, you can use at least all of the fruits of the Spirit, because, you know, the joy of the Lord be in the midst of whatever storm it is, and to walk in those fruits of the Spirit, and to, you know, just to walk in the presence of it. But self-control is what I'm learning in this season. I don't have to always speak my mind. I don't always have to react to a situation. I don't have to criticize. I don't have to talk always about it. All I need to do is pray, and then if the Holy Spirit leads God and directs me, can listen to what he leads me to say and then say it or not say anything at all. So that's what a self-control is. And that's it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for really just being honest and open and true. This is the time for truth. Time for truth in the inward parts. And one of the things that we learn is that the light will dispel the darkness. And one of the ways that light comes is to unveil it, to expose it, to expose the darkness and allow the light to shine on it. And the light is the word and the will and the person of Jesus Christ, because he is the one that will bring perfection, because he's been here, done that, and he knows what it is we're going to need in order to have that victory. To try to fake it, to make it, we don't really make it. We just make our lives more difficult, and we make more our wounds deeper and more tender. And it just ends up, it's so much that the Lord has to do for us that it's nothing left for us to do for other people. We become like little children, requiring all the attention for our, so that others can be blessed. But we can't do anything because we are always in the state of denying the light. And so we want to be able to receive the light, receive the ministry of Holy Spirit, receive the grace that is brought to us by God, which is going to be the subject for the next couple of months, and that is in the grip of grace. And so we need to understand why we need to be gripped by this grace, so that all of these things that come before us can be well established in our lives. A lot of the things are, they're there, but certain situations cause them to dissipate. I love the definition, I believe, last week given, you know, how love dissipates just because of the constant, I don't want to call it attack, but the constant exposure to opposition and to trials and to pain and to suffering. And because of that, love dissipates, because it's not a God love. It's a love we're trying to establish by our power, and we can't. We cannot. And we have to surrender all of it to God in order for his love to be established in our hearts. And so we can read the definition of love. We can read the what the word says about it, and we can go along trying to perform that. But the performance of that does not create that. What creates that love is surrendering. Actually, is not doing, allowing the Father to do. But generally, we don't want the Father to do it because we don't like the way he accomplishes his will in our life. We really don't like the way God operates, unless it's when he's helping us specifically out of a problem, and which is why we're saying, so we're so consumed with just the way he deals with us in our situations that it's often he can't use us to help other people, because we are like the little kids that really concerned with ourselves, selfish. Which is a horrible enemy to the walk we have with God. That's selfishness. We have to be selfless as Christ was. If he was concerned about his time on earth, who was going to like him, where he was going to live, what was he going to wear, how was he going to make a living, if he was concerned about all of those, he would not have accomplished what God wanted him to accomplish. His life was full of sacrifice even before the cross. And remember, he had it all. But when he came here, he had nothing. The Son of Man had nothing. He possessed nothing. We can say, well, you know, that's not realistic. But actually, it's not supposed to be realistic. It's supposed to be spiritual. And whatever we have, we depend on God to establish it. But, and we'll say we do. I helping God do it because, you know, he doesn't do it quite the way I want to do it. So I may have to work overtime, or I may have to sacrifice this for that. And that's not what God would want us to do. I can't really pay my tithes because, yeah, I really need to, you know, fix the garage and, you know, feed the dog and whatever. And yet he's saying, you do me, I'll do you. And we want to, we like, you know, how you going to do me? Let me know. And then I'll let you know if I want you to do me, you know. And he does let us know. He let us know by the word of God. He said, look at my son. That's how I'm going to do it. And we go, well, no. You know, it was like he was asking you where you were, you know, while he was suffering. And often Timothy asked, you know, why did God let that happen to his son? Didn't he love his son? And it's like we didn't understand that kind of love. We don't. And we do question it. And so when it comes time for us to make sacrifices, not as paramount as that, but so much less than sacrifices, we can't do it. Because we, you know, it's like, I don't understand what he's trying to do here by doing this thing, you know, by subjecting me to the cruelty of, you know, a boss or a child that just will not do what you want him to do. Or even a ministry that just seems to always be struggling and people fighting against it. And, you know, it's like I don't understand why he would do that. You know, and so because we don't often understand it, we don't surrender to it, not wholeheartedly. And that's one of the hearts, wholehearted. You know, and as Pastor said, hers was a sold-out heart. You know, a sold-out heart has given up all of its own against all of its own. And you can sell, you can have a sold-out life, she shared with us, but not necessarily a sold-out heart. And that's the powerful part. That is the part that makes the sold-out life a joy. And so if you don't have that, you have this, and that's trying to do a thing with our own strength and understanding. And because of that, it doesn't create that joy that we should have and that unforged love that should just show every time we smile, every time we, you know, every time we cry, we should be exuding or extending a kind of love that defies the world standard. And that's what Christ did. That's what Christ did. And that's what he desires for us to do.
Wholeheartedly.
Yes.
Someone else want to do one? I'm going to let her speak and say her name.
Hi, Overseer.
Okay. Hello, how
are you? Chanel. Good.
Hello, lady. How are you? Welcome.
I'm doing good. Okay, so mine will be Matthew 5:17-19, wholehearted. Keeping all commandments, teaching me so, rejoicing in no part of God's word. Despite no part of Christ. Christ is the word. And their word the violation. Okay, hold on. Hearest among those, some denied the righteousness and had their own idea and agenda, happy to receive false teaching and reject it, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So, how it relates to me is that's how I kind of feel all the time, like, you know, that I kind of reject God a lot. Blame it on the things that I've been through and, you know, the things that, like, me not feeling like I trust him fully with everything because of the things I've been through. So which causes me to deny him, which causes me to feel like I got to protect myself or have my own agenda. So basically that's That's how I feel like it relates to me, but which is not how it should be, because my mom used to always tell me, like, you know, God always knows what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of how many times you try to, you know, do your own thing, you're going to end up right back in the same place, because if you're not following God's word or his way, you could get nowhere without
Amen.
Him.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. And that's where we were going with this wholehearted. And it says keeping the commands and teaching men so. And so, as you shared, rejecting no part of God's word, and we do, because we really, come on, we don't like the way he do a lot of things. And we don't understand why it has to be that way. But what he, this wholehearted walk with, is because we have surrendered everything. My way of thinking, how I think it should be, how I want it to be, not even how I think it would be. It's not like I know everything, but God, you know, I just want it to be this way. You know, I want this to happen or that to happen. And he's saying, I have a better way. It doesn't look, if we look with natural eyes, but if we look with spiritual eyes of trust and faith in God, understanding his love for us surpasses anything that we can ever conceive of. But because we can't conceive of that, then it's hard to embrace it. And so he says, you know, you just got to trust me on this. And as we walk our journey, there are things that happen that he will help build our trust in him. Word said, word preached, word lived out, actions, the other Christians. That is a big part of what builds our holy faith and our trust in God, is the lives of Christians around us that we watch and we listen to what they're living, and we realize, yeah, they're trusting God. So he must be trustworthy. That's how, when you meet a person, you know, when a girl is going out, starting to date a gentleman, you know, she wants to, especially if you meet them in a group of, you know, like at school or in a group where someone knows them, or you go to the person that knows them, and you ask them questions about it. And because of what they tell you, you will make the decision to pursue or not to pursue. If they tell you, no, you know, he ain't right, and da-da-da-da-da, you go, I don't want none of that. But if they tell you the positive things, is he this and is this, and that's a good idea, da-da-da, you will proceed in that relationship. And it's the same way with us and Christ and the saints and the people that I'm watching to come into a stronger relationship with God. What they do is they listen to us, and they look at us, and they read us as it relates to what's going on about Christ and about God in our life, to choose whether or not they want to participate, you know, go any further with the Lord, okay? So if we're complaining and we're grumbling about how he does things, you know, which is why murmuring is such a sin, and complaining is such a sin, because it's honestly, it's talking about God. I mean, you know, it's bad mouthing God. He's not going to have that. But when it happens, our words have more weight to them than the words in the Bible, because we are living, you know, interacting in the individuals that a person is feeling, seeing, and touching. And what's in the Bible seems like words on a page and not alive and out. So the only way those words get alive and living is through us. And so what we share about God then becomes the thing that causes people to either want him or not, honestly. You know, and so we have to wholeheartedly embrace all of him, and even when we don't understand it, to know that because we trust it, or better yet, because of his love, we can trust it. And so to understand, he says, I can't show you any other greater way of how much I love you than by giving my son, to giving him up, letting him leave, you know, the sanctity and the holy position of heaven sitting next to me, involved in every moment since before time began. I'm releasing him. I'm letting him go. And I know what I'm letting him go to. I'm letting him go to an undone people with a wretched heart who even in their best will be cruel to him. Even his disciples caused him, if you will, stress, caused him opposition, caused him resistance. And so God knew that. He said, but you know how much I love you, I'm going to send him anyway. And he, because the son loved the father so much, and he knew what was ahead for him, he said, well, because I love you and I love them, I will do it. And if God wants that one act of his total love to grab our hearts and then allow these characteristics to be developed in our hearts because of that act of giving his son. He said, don't you know how much I love you, you know, that I gave my son. Not to someone who was his friend or someone who, you know, was asking for his help, but rather he gave it to a world that hated him, that didn't know him and didn't want him and wasn't seeking him. But he gave him anyway. And I think of all the times that we weren't, you know, in love with the Lord, didn't want to do what he said, didn't want to even hear what he said, so we didn't have to be thinking we were guilty for not doing it because we don't even want to hear it. And yet he said, I love you so much, I'm going to send my son so that when you are ready, that you can come, that you will know, and that it will work for you to receive my grace, so that you can glory with me. Because his ultimate desire, God's ultimate desire, is so that we can all, that we can be with him, that we can all be back with him like we were in the garden. That was God's desire, that he could walk among us, be in fellowship with us, love us, share with us, love on us, give to us. And he's the perfect lover. All he wants to do is give and be with us. If we had someone physically that could do a tenth or a millionth of what God can do, we would be on the money, on the moon, rejoicing. And yet we have the King of Glory, the King of the Universe, presenting himself to us, humbly presenting himself to us. Because he can make us do it. Oh, he can make us do it. But he doesn't want to make us do it. He wants us to want to do it. So we do. We are blessed people. And we want his heart.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just thinking, but I'm over here laughing. It took me a while. Because when I did something like, if I do something to you, I wouldn't come back to you and say, I'm sorry. I go to God and say, God, I'm sorry I did so-and-so like that. And he said, go back. I didn't want to come back to you and tell you I was sorry and humble myself. But I had to learn that. I'm telling the wrong person I'm sorry. I had to come back to you and say, I'm sorry. And really mean it. And not don't bring you that. I'm coming back to you and say, I'm sorry, because the word of God says so. I had to go back 2 or 3 times before I got it right. Because he said, go back again, you didn't do it right. And the third time I went back, I bet I had it right. Like I was crawling back, you know, because I refused to come to you myself. I wanted everybody to tell me to come to you. I didn't want to come myself, and that's what you have to do. Want to come back and say you're sorry for yourself,
yes,
because you really are sorry. And then,
right.
Yeah. And that's you would not do that. I had a toothache. I couldn't talk. Everything I made excuse everything, and finally had to crawl back and humble myself. And that was the worst punishment in history. But that's what it is. We need to be truthful with each other and ourselves.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm gonna tell God I'm sorry and pass by you, and I did it to you. You know.
So amen. That's a forgiving heart. Absolutely.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You know, and that's what, you know, that's where grace only comes to us. And grace is a divine enablement. It's the divine power to do what God wants us to do. And it only comes into a heart that is humble. And it is humility that you had to display, and once we do that, once we bow down to the truth of who God is and what he wants, then he gives us grace to do it. And as you say, that can be the most difficult thing. Oh, my goodness. It's not like he's asking you to swallow a worm or eat a bug or whatever, you know, but it seems like I got to do that. And yet he gives us the grace because we have humbled ourselves under him. We have humbled ourselves to what the way he says, like, you know, our life should look and how our behavior should be. And you know, it's just like when you shared that, I can picture a kid, you know, doing something wrong and the parent, you know, finds out about it and the kid tells them, okay, Mama, I'm sorry. And my mother used to say, no, you go, like you said, God told you to go back and tell them. And he's telling him, no, you go back and you let them know. And in doing that, it's like, well, no, isn't it enough for me just to say it to you? But it isn't. It is not. And it is not until we make that act of repentance with God that we then receive the blessings that he has. And he has riches for us. We should not be deceived. He has riches that have been undervalued, but they haven't been spoken of enough for people to really understand how valuable they are and how desirable they should be for us. And that's what comes when we do humble ourselves. And then we receive the power that we need to do the things that he alone has the power to help us to do.
Overseer?
Amen. Yes.
Yes, I wanted to just say on, you're kind
you
of going in a different direction.
Can you speak a little bit louder?
Is that better? They're mowing grass downstairs. Is that better?
Yes.
No? Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's number 15, a yielding heart, Matthew 5, 25 and 26, where it talks about agreeing with an adversary. One of the things it seems as though, as I have been looking through these, it's degrees and degrees, like taking layers and layers off our heart. It seems like when one part seems to be successfully, whatever, overcome, you know, through the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit shows something else, something, you know, maybe just a little deeper, a little different, a little, you know, whatever, I don't know. Maybe just
okay.
Even a bit more, I don't want to say insidious, but for me it was this whole idea of agreeing with thine adversary. And the violation says, give no offense to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. They had not yet learned the blessings of meekness. So when I went and looked at meekness under the fruit of the Spirit, it says, I am willing to go under any yoke that God wants me to be submissive to God and to one another out of mutual reverence for Christ. I freely and willingly accept all that God in his providence gives or withholds from me. I am willing to step under the yoke with Christ and my co-workers in kingdom service, and I'm willing to step aside when it is time to do so. I bring myself under the authority of Christ and his church. I can glory in my infirmities so that the power of God may be made, I can't really see, I think it's going to say manifest. My copy is a little bad there. Can be provoked without being inflamed and give a soft anger, a soft answer when angry. Words are spoken. I respect my rights and the rights of others, willing to give up mine if the Lord so guides me. I am proactive and not a reactive, and I relate to others as among sinners and never arrogantly. Now, that's what it's supposed to be looking like. I'm not saying that it's always what it looks like, but that's what the fruit our condition when we are no longer violating the heart condition, and in the Amplified it says, do not let yourselves be hindrances by giving an offense to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the Church of God. Do not lead others into sin by your mode of life. And then the next verse just says, Paul says, just as I myself strive to please, to accommodate myself to the opinions, desires, and interests of others, adapting myself to all men in everything I do, not aiming at or considering my own profit or advantage, but that of the many in order that they may be saved. You know, I think that whole idea of not being offended, that certainly is something that the Holy Spirit is working on me. It may not be that I lash out in anger or lash out or whatever, but even when our behavior is passive aggressive, when we don't do anything, when we don't do what we need to be doing, it is still sin. You know, it doesn't have to be outwardly into another one of the heart conditions for it not to be for our behavior, because when in our hearts we're not doing it unto the glory of God or doing it in a loving manner, as Minister Pat had said earlier, you know, that love is one of those things. But this has been interesting, pairing up the heart condition with the fruit of the Spirit, and then going back and looking at the one another's that we've been given. It, I think, it's great to launch us off into the grace, because we would be consumed. Because I think in all capacities, we can all grow, and some more than others, in certain areas more than others. But, you know, that's the diversity and the beauty and the kingdom of God.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen. Anybody else? And I pray that we can see this correlation, you know, between the things that we've been looking at, the total absolute surrender and the fruit of the Spirit, the soil of our hearts, the precepts for the heart. That's the precepts of the seeds and things, really, that have to be planted in our hearts and grow to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And we can see that because of that, it would bring the ministry of one another to its perfected state. And that perfected state would draw men to Christ. It is just as simple as that. Love does draw. And as the song says years and years ago, what the world needs now is love. But they need that real love that God has. And that real love has so much power in it. And I think if we reflect on how we've gotten to where we are, who we are, as to where we are. Love had a huge part in it, whether it was the lack of love or the presence of love, whether it was a perfect love or an imperfect love. Whatever that love was, it helped create who we are today and how we view ourselves and our surroundings and other people. And so it's such a powerful thing that naturally the enemy would give counterfeits in every shape, size, and form of it to deceive us into seeking something that is a counterfeit and not real. And as a result, I won't say messing up the balance, but destroying the balance that God created when he created us and the world to be in perfect balance of love and unity and respect. And so that's something that, you know, these studies are bringing to the forefront of our life. And so because he's doing that, he's putting it before us so that we can follow it. You know, we can follow it to the light, to the brilliancy of the light of Jesus Christ, and that it'll glow on our face as it glowed on the face of Moses when he came down off the mountain, so much so that it caused the people to fall back because they recognized that there was something on him, okay, that was not of this world, that transcends this world, and yet it included him in it, which lets us know those things of God is not of this world, but because of Christ, we can go to the world that it is in and where the power is like that, where God does have it like that, and now it's like that for us as well because we are a part of him. And it's such a love and a wonder that he has for us, that he wants to give to us, that we need to, the scripture says, stop kicking against the brick and just take it, you know, seek it, want it, long for it, you know, what is the word says, hunger for the things of God and the characteristics of God and these heart precepts of the perfected heart of God. And so in doing so, our lives, and not just our lives, but the life of everybody you love, everybody that you have a desire for, a hope for, our children, our friends, our spouses, you know, our church, you know, everybody that you have a passion for, they need this love. But not your love, the love that you have that has become the perfect representative of God's love. Because our love is going to fail. It just will. Because we can only live for so long. However, there is this grace that we're going to be talking about. So, I look forward to starting that study with our Fellowship of Learners, our Friday Fellowship of Learners. Our book is going to be by Max Max Lucado. In the Grip of Grace. And so we will start our August out with the first the introduction, prefix, and some first chapter of In the Grip of Grace. So any more comments, questions, insights, revelation, sharing? Praise the Lord. We welcome our visitor. We pray that this won't be just one time. We are here every Friday at 9 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. And we are excited about you joining us and being a part of our fellowship. Please just always feel the liberty to share, to jump right in there. Sometimes the technology
is a little daunting. It takes like 5 seconds or so before you transmit. So sometimes it seems like you're talking and no one's listening. It's just we haven't heard it yet. But just jump right in. We don't think it's rude. It is how it goes. And you're not interrupting anything. When God gives you something, you can share it with us. And we are excited to receive it. So we pray that you will be with us on the fellowship this Sunday at 3:30, the fellowship that labors for Christ. We're going to have our youth explosion. This is fifth Sunday. They have some interesting things they want to do. Last time they challenged you with Bible or not. They have another challenge for you, and we pray that you're up to it because, you know, Pastor really gets excited about what y'all don't know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we do encourage you to come out and support our young people. They have not really labored hard, but they have surrendered themselves to the fifth Sunday, and I appreciate that. And I'm excited about what they're going to do. And so come out and share it with us at 3:30. No, it's at 10:30, Labors for Christ, Word Life Center, 1750 West 103rd Street in the upper level. So God bless you. And see you this weekend prayerfully. Amen. And enjoy your day.